The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on the 17th day of November 2021. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And I'm Pastor Sanders, and sitting here waiting to squeak at me, you know. Well, right now, over there on the board, wearing a red shirt, could be mistaken as a fire truck, none other than the mighty Andrew.
Thank you, Pastor.
There you go. And she weighs less than his shadow. That's right. You just heard her cackling, but there are no eggs here. 88 pounds of power. Little Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
And back on the phones. Now, these are the folks that are on the manning the phones. Back in the back. We put them way in the back, okay? None other than Rampin' Randy Gay. Rompin' Randy Gay. And next to him out there is Wiley Wilt Burns. And here, folks, it's rumored that Mother Nature uses her apothecary herbs. None other than Wendy Wilson.
Hello, good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, young lady. And there he is, way out there, always standing vigilant, roaming the back roads, preaching the gospel out there, the old soldier himself, none other than the parson Joe Larson.
Yes, your highly unpaid professional associate is here, ready to go to work. Let's raise some money.
I didn't say all that. I just said use Parson Joe Larson. All righty, we're ready to go now that we got Wendy here. She's pretty smart, Joe. And so let's go to the Bible study, and then she can tell us, you know, if we make any mistakes, okay?
All right.
You ready, Wendy?
I'm ready.
All right, there you go. Joe, go ahead and read me from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15.
Should I tell the title? Who said I wish to avenge myself against the one who rules above?
Wait a minute. Let's let Wendy answer that because she wasn't here. Hey, Wendy, who said that I wish to avenge myself against the one that rules above?
I don't know.
Okay. If you were to say Karl Marx, you'd be right. Go ahead and say it, Karl Marx.
Karl Marx.
I told you she was smart.
See, she's right, yeah.
Always on top of it. Alrighty.
All right.
So, Joe,
here we go.
Watch Joe read. Go ahead, Joe.
For as much, then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, likewise, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Okay, here's the question. Jesus had to become human, had to become in the flesh, so that he could do what?
So he could become the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
All right, but what was it he had to do that?
He had to come as a man.
Yeah. What was it he defeated?
He defeated, he defeated sin, the world, and the devil, and death.
Death and hell.
He defeated quite a few things.
And so in order to destroy the devil's power over death, we read that over in Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. Only then could he deliver those who had lived in constant fear of death and free. Why are people, why do people live in constant fear of death?
Well, there's uncertainty about what happens after death, that the life is over, where they're going to go. So it was the uncertainty, I think, that causes the fear. We know where we're going. I'm certain of where I'm going to end up.
Is it better than the place you're at now?
Much better. Much better.
And here everybody talked about how great it was at that farm in Missouri.
Pretty nice here. I appreciate everything the Lord's given me, but I was just thinking this whole thing comes out of John, first chapter of John and 14, and the Word, which is Jesus Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the only one who could be that living sacrifice, the only one who could live a sinless, spotless life.
So then when he died and he rose again, how did that affect us?
That showed that God has the power to what, as we die, to have us reborn, become, you know, have a second birth and have a chance at everlasting life.
What do you think about all that, Wendy?
I think it's a fabulous thing he did.
Amen. Why don't we go over to Matthew chapter 16? In Matthew chapter 16. Okay. Here. When we take a look at this, some of the people believed in those days that Jesus was going to be a great, great prophet, that he was a great prophet that was prophesied over in Deuteronomy 18:18, where God said he would raise up a prophet from among his people. So here now, read verses 13 all the way through 20, Joe.
20, all right. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ.
All right, now, here there are those that teach that the church was built upon Peter, but it's right. Really hard to come to that conclusion. And let's look at this. Read me verse 13 again, Joe.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
So what is the question being asked? What it deals with the identity of who?
Christ. Who am I?
Okay, so go read the next verse.
Am I. I am kind of, it's almost right. Written there.
Read the next verse.
And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
So the question again is what? The identity of who?
Christ.
Okay. Read the next verse.
And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
So the question again is about the identity of who?
Jesus.
Okay. And you know what?
I forgot. Thou art Christ.
You know what?
Son of the living.
Hold it. This is we forgot. The fact that this is the third day of Pledge Week. We didn't give out the numbers. Okay. So the numbers are, folks, we got to hear from you. I got a late start, so we got to make it up. That means you folks out there listening, we know who you are. You got to pledge extra. Ready? 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. One more time, 888-677-9673. Here we're going to, let's tell Jim to hang on there, and we'll get to him at the bottom of the hour, okay? Now, so let's go back again here now to verse 16. Go ahead and read that.
And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Again, the question is about the identity of who?
Christ.
Okay, now, let's go to 17.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Revealed what?
My identity.
All right.
Jesus' identity.
Now, so, in five different verses, it deals with what he's referring to. The whole conversation is about the identity of Christ, huh?
Right.
Okay. Now, some will use this next verse to try to replace him with Peter. And I say unto thee also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what is the Christ?
Christ is the rock.
Okay.
Not a stone. Peter, Petra, means stone, small stone, not a large rock.
That's absolutely right. So, Wendy, you got to jump in there and insert yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, and so here now, again, what you're talking about, thou art Petros means what? Petros means a stone, right?
Stone.
And Petra, so he says, thou art Petrus, and upon this Petra I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not provide it. Now, the fact that the Christ is what? The Christ is the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior. It all comes down to the fact that Christ is deity, huh?
Right, and he was the rock of Israel. God was the rock of Israel.
Can you build a living church on a dead person?
Nope.
Pretty hard, huh?
In fact, the very fact, let me say it, the definition of the church is we, Bible calls us lively stones, living stones that are built upon the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. He was the cornerstone the builders rejected. And living stones build a living church that worships a living, risen Lord. That is the real definition of Christ's church.
Okay, so we'll ask Wendy this question because it's hard, but it deals with plums. Plums. Wendy, if you have two plums, two either stones or rocks the size of plums, one in each hand, are those stones or are they rocks if they're the size of a plum?
Well, they're still rocks, even though they look like the size of a plum.
So, but some people, if you would hold out and I'd say, what is this? Some would say stone. A large person would probably say stone, okay? Mighty Andrew would say that's gravel, you know, but here. So that when you talk about that, but the Lord does make a distinction. Joe, go over to John chapter 1 and read me verses 40 and 42.
John 1:40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ.
Okay. So here, 42. And he brought him
to...
Go ahead.
And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which by... is by interpretation a stone.
Okay, but to some people a stone is a rock and others a rock, but the rock on which the church is built, where the gates of hell cannot prevail, is, of course, the fact that he is deity, that he is God, okay?
Well, being a cornerstone, people have to relate that a phrase I used, Christ was the cornerstone, and a cornerstone is the big stone, a big thing.
All right.
The rest of the building's built upon, not a little tiny rock, but something large and very strong.
Right. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, do you have those keys, the keys of the kingdom, Joe?
I have the... indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, the kingdom authority, yes.
We'll ask Wendy Wilson. Wendy Wilson, do you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven?
To Lord Jesus Christ, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. Have you ever witnessed to someone and give them the gospel message?
Yep.
In other words, and if they called upon the name of the Lord and they received Christ as their Savior, are they going to heaven? That's the keys.
The keys to the kingdom.
The keys to the kingdom is the gospel, is sharing the gospel, witnessing, and not only that, but teaching the Bible also. Exactly what it says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Okay. Now when he says this, and whatsoever thou shalt bind in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, that actually could be better said, because what he's telling them there is you are going to bind the things that it's already been decided. What you're going to bind has been decided already in heaven. What you're going to loose has been decided. It's not your call. God has decided this, and you're going to do as the Holy Ghost leads you. That's what he's telling you.
Exactly. It's God knows exactly who will accept him and who will reject him.
Boy, I thought I'd never get that through to you guys. Alrighty, listen, we got some announcements to make, so very quickly, bring Jim McNeil up and bring the lady about the protest. Hello, McNeil and lady about the protest.
Pastor, hello. Good evening.
Hello, tell us about your protest.
Hi, so my protest, I'm actually having two. My first one is this Friday, November 19th, starting at noon, and we are going to be starting at the Cleveland Clinic main campus, which is 9500 Euclid Avenue. It's the Miller Pavilion is what they call it. It's just the front of main campus. And then we're going to be marching to UH main campus. So the purpose of this protest is because our hospitals are mandating this COVID vaccine against us. And all this time, all throughout the pandemic, we've worn our protective gear. And the majority of the protective gear is just a surgical mask. That's what they say is fine. You won't get it through the mask. You can't give it through the mask. And now they're saying, well, now it's not good enough, so now you need the shot. And they're forcing this on us, and they're firing us. And come December 4th, if you do not get the first dose, you'll be suspended without pay. until January 3rd, and then January 4th will be fired. And that's completely unconstitutional. It's not okay. They're being very hypocritical about the PPE gear and basically just punishing us into getting this vaccine. And it's not okay. So we're all coming together. People are coming from other hospitals, Akron General. There's some coming from Southern Ohio, all over. People are very, very upset. We were born to be here in healthcare, born to take care of people, and we're getting that right taken away from us. So we're just asking anybody and everybody that we can to come out. Please support us. We need as many people as possible for them to see that we're fighting them and that it's not okay that they're doing it to us, in hopes that maybe they'll reverse this mandate on
all right. Well, here's all I want, just your first name, not your last name. What's your first name?
Brianna.
Brianna. Here's the thing, all right? What we're into, as I was saying yesterday, on Veterans Day, you had a Fox News reporter was out there at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and he was saying this is the first time in over 20 years on Veterans Day America has not been at war. But the truth is, we're in our worst war that we've been in since the Civil War. And our enemies are our very federal government that has been weaponized against us. And we are at, just like in the days in 1776, it's freedom is on the line. And you're only going to find a minority are going to be bold enough to take the stand. The vast majority of people don't have the courage. It's simply that. In fact, the vast majority of those in the pulpit, had they had the courage, we would never be in this situation. Had they been the courage to tell the truth and honor God by being doers of the word and not just hearers only. So what you have to do, and you folks have to let them fire you, you can sue them. They get enough lawsuits against them. Everything that Biden is doing is unconstitutional. It's absolutely, totally unconstitutional.
Absolutely.
And so we have to stand our ground. And all across the country, there are those that are a step above. The bold and the brave are the ones that will stand up. Okay. The others, well, they don't, you know, most of them are going to tuck tail. Now, here's what's going to happen, Brianna. And it's already happening right now. See, a lot of people don't realize this because it's being kept out of the lamestream media, but we've been reporting on it. You've already had 155,000 people have already died from this poisonous poke already, right now. And here,
right.
Even as this is going on, the U.S. is developing a lethally new genetically engineered virus called the mouse pox and the monkey pox. That's happening right now. We are at war. And God has raised us up for such a time as this. We have to run to this battle. We have to stand and fight. And I you know, when I look around and I see these people wearing these masks, you know, it is that do absolutely nothing to stop a virus. And these face diapers. Sometimes I have, when I walked into the Hillcrest there a while back, I walked through the first desk, and they had a mask. I just kept walking, and finally the second one said, you should wear a mask. And I says, oh, yes, I know, because that mask will really protect me. In fact, if I have to go into a dangerous neighborhood, well, I just put a mask on because I'm told every day that I'd be protected with that mask. But that mask is worthless, like the advice you're getting from these people. Brianna, it used to be the AMA, hospitals and doctors were highly respected. They've lost their legitimacy. People don't trust them anymore. They don't trust MDs anymore. They don't trust hospitals. People are scared to go to the hospital. Nowadays, it's, you know, they're afraid they're going to go there and die. They do not trust the medical associations anymore. The trust is gone because it's been violated. What do you think?
I completely agree with that. And the people that they're getting ready to fire are the ones that really need to be there for the people who really do need to be in the hospital. We're the ones that truly put our heart and soul into this job. We do everything that we absolutely can for these people, bend over backwards. And here we are. We are the ones that are getting fired for it. We do our job as God given us our, like, you know, it's just unbelievable. I can't. It's so much.
With several of your fellow nurses there attending, belong to the church that I pastor, and they're going to be out there. Believe me, they'll be out there. They're going to get fired too. Okay, but you know what?
We need to have people realize that everyone listening in that whole area to our voice is the freedom you're going to be helping save is your own, because they're going after the nurses and the medics and different people, but they're going to try and come after you next. Draw a line
exactly.
in the sand this far and no farther. We're going to fight. We're going to stand. And these wonderful healthcare workers should have thousands of you out there backing them up. There shouldn't be room for the people demonstrating, in my opinion.
That's what right. that's what the Geauga County Tea Party is attempting to do. We've been in touch with every other freedom-fighting organization in Ohio trying to get word
Good.
Out of this event so that people can actually go there and participate and make this a much more powerful and a much more meaningful experience with a better demonstration of the unity of thought and action that is possible among free-thinking people.
Well, who was it? John Stuart Mill, one of our founders, said, a man or a woman who has nothing for which he is willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature, has no chance of being free unless made and kept so by the exertions of better men or women than himself. And that's true today.
Absolutely. Brianna, give those times again and places again. And folks, write this down. You folks out there listening, we need as a big a turnout as we can get. That's this coming Friday. And also, there's yeah. there's another one in November. Let me see. I think it's the following week. I have another. There's going to be another one yeah. locally. Go ahead and give those again.
Yeah, so the first one is this Friday, November 19th at noon, and we will begin our march at 9500 Euclid Avenue, which is the Cleveland Clinic main campus in the front entrance. It's called the Miller Pavilion. And then the second protest is at 18101 Lorraine Avenue in Cleveland. It's in Cam's Corner, West Park. It's at Fairview Hospital, November 23rd at 5 p.m.
All right. That's the one I was trying to think of. Okay. 23rd at 5 p.m. Okay. Very good. I will continue to give these out.
Thank you so much. Really great, greatly appreciate this.
You know, all people need to be here. Need to be here. This needs to be gigantic, biblical
yes.
in proportion.
You're not
Absolutely.
Kidding.
The Cleveland Clinic is world-renowned, and, I mean, if people see how many people are protesting against our jobs at the Cleveland Clinic, I mean, that hopefully will open their eyes. Like, why is the Cleveland Clinic employees protesting this COVID shot? Why, you know, hopefully this will just make people realize what a big deal this is. Like, it's not okay what they're doing to us at all.
I'll tell you what, you want to listen just listen, we're going to play a little bit of a clip. Andy, play that clip with Mr. Gates and Mr. Fauci. Now, you see, Mr. Gates and Mr. Fauci, they've come in, and you know what they discovered? They discovered that their vaccines aren't doing what they thought they would do. And by the way, yes, so people are dying, big deal. But not to worry, because they're going to come out with a new vaccine. So play a few minutes of that. Listen carefully.
They have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
We're starting to see waning immunity against infection and waning immunity in the beginning aspect against hospitalization. And if you look at Israel, mm-hmm. which is always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us in the dynamics of the outbreak, in their vaccine response, and in every other element of the outbreak. They are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death, which is starting to now involve all age groups.
So it was always going to work. It was 96% effective. You couldn't say that it had waning immunity or that it erased your immunity. And now he just admits it. And that's what it's all about. This is a cult.
Alrighty, there you go. I have another clip, and you ought to listen to this other clip. It's actually a video, and I wish there was a way you could see this. But what it is, it's vaccinated. These are the vaccinated people, especially in Europe, the soccer players, but also football players, basketball players, especially these young athletes, because of the amount of blood they're pumping, which speeds us up, where they're dropping dead. They're just dropping dead on the field. And the media is trying to cover this up the best they can, but the problem is there's too many videos. Also, you had, and I think it was from the Netherlands, one of the, their equivalent to our Surgeon General, came out and was given a speech, a press conference, talking about how I had got my shot today, you need to get your shot, and she dropped dead right then, right there. Now, also, you had these newscasters, these people, anchor people, and what were they talking about? Well, they were talking about this, and one of them dropped dead right there on the spot. So these things are happening. Now, you know, I couldn't believe when Franklin Graham had told people, suggested that they should get the shot. And if Jesus was here, he would take the poke. I could not believe it. If I hadn't heard it, I wouldn't have believed it, but I saw him. Well, now, you know where Franklin Graham's been. He's been in the hospital with microcarditis. And that's not curable. And you've got all of these young people dying. But here, Brianna, I'm telling you something you probably know a lot better than I do.
Yeah, I mean, so most of my patients come in, most of them are vaccinated that are on the COVID floor, and that's what the media is not telling people. You can still get COVID with the shot, and it doesn't matter if you're unvaccinated or vaccinated, you can get it from anybody. And it's crazy. I've seen people who are pregnant. I know two off the top of my head. They asked their OB while they're pregnant, is it safe for me to get the shot? And they highly recommended it. So they both got the shot, and they had a great pregnancy until the end, and both babies came out completely sterile, and figure out a reason why. Well, I'll tell you the reason why right now, and it's because of that COVID shot. It's deadly to people, completely deadly. And these nurses and, these doctors are highly recommending the shot to pregnant and breastfeeding women, and it's going to wind up killing their babies. And this is what they're not telling people.
You're absolutely right. But you know what? This is Pledge Week, and I have been laying down. Wendy Wilson pledges 500. Jim McNeil pledges 50. And folks, the phones aren't ringing. We got to get you. We've been bringing you some interesting. We have to hear from you. Please give us a call. You guys stay there. Wendy, you jump in on this too, but 888-281-1110. 888-281. Folks, 1110. We got to hear from you. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We got to hear from you if you're going to continue to hear from us. All right, very quickly, I've got this article right here. Narrative collapses. Listen to this. You've heard of the CDC, right? Well, guess what the CDC is admitting? There is no record. Listen, there is no record of an unvaccinated person spreading COVID after recovering. Listen, there is no record. The CDC has no record of an unvaccinated person after they've recovered from COVID-19 spreading the disease. What do you think of that? There you go. You didn't
want to jump in.
It's categorically, demonstrable, Pastor. The idea that the vaccine, the vax, was going after with its mRNA approach, which, by the way, is not our first rodeo with coronavirus. This is the third attempt at a coronavirus vaccine via the mRNA attempt. And in both SARS-1 and MERS, in the animal testing, after the animals were inoculated and achieved what was believed to be robust antibodies, they were exposed to the wild virus. And in both of those previous coronavirus episodes, 100% of the test animals died. In this go-around, we are the test animals.
You know,
we're the test animals.
Do you know when that happened?
When you get it and you have natural immunity, remember that your body, God's blessed machine here, this magnificent machine that he designed and built, is capable of picking up multiple points on that virus that it builds antibodies against, not just the spike cell. You have about 16 plus different parts of that coronavirus to which your body, if you've had it and you've recovered, to which your body now has antibodies. So it is robust, it is long-lasting, and it is vastly superior to an unproven experimental death jab.
All right, very good. What you just said, Wendy Wilson, who is here with us now, when that took place, you remember, Wendy, you called right in and you were telling about, hey, guess what, Pastor? How many of the lab test animals died? And every single one of them, huh? Unbelievable. Jim, Brianna, I've got to get on because I got to raise money. This is pledge week. And so Ms. McCurdy pledges 35, but we have to get going. So thank you very, very much. And I will continue to tell folks that 12 noon, Friday the 19th, 9500 Euclid Avenue for the Cleveland Clinic, and then also 1810 Lorraine Avenue, November 23rd at Fairview Hospital.
5 p.m.
5 p.m., folks, we need to get as many people as possible out there. So we got to stand. Listen, this is your country. This is your freedom. And I can tell you what this is about, and I've been telling you. Joe, you remember, we told people back in the 80s, I sit in the meetings of the World Health Organization, Sierra Club, Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, when they were discussing how to depopulate the planet, the International Depopulation Center.
Yep.
How to I sit in their meetings, remember, and I came back and I was telling people then, you know, they want to depopulate the planet. They want to move us down to 500 million people. And it was like,
they put it in writing.
Yeah.
One of those discussions and things I remember collecting and talking about them years later on the radio in the 90s, that these people, that's what they wanted. They had to reduce it by so many millions of people, and they said they were hoping there would be a plague or a pandemic. And the news was out there, but it was just never reported.
Right. Well, we have been reporting it, and a few of us did, okay? And so, anyhow, I got to move on, but thanks for calling, Jim and Brianna, and I will keep announcing it. God bless you. Also, Jim, very quickly, December 7th, our next Geauga County Tea Party meeting, and that guest that you wanted me to contact has not been answering the phone, so I'll keep working on that. So, all right, let's go back to Wendy. Wendy, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, something interesting. I came across some research here that was discussing how asthma has changed. And I thought that was interesting. This is a report by Medical News Today. You know, it was confirming asthma has been around for thousands of years. They actually mentioned the writings of Hippocrates about it. He described the condition. Some of the ancient healers in China 2,600 years ago also mentioned it. So, and asthma today, right now, affects about 26 million U.S. Citizens, and 6 million of those citizens are children. So the astonishing statistic, too, from the WHO said that asthma has increased 60% since the 1980s. Now, that's quite a jump, Pastor. So I thought, well, let's find out what they mean by asthma has changed.
So, you know what asthma is. Most people do. People have asthma. They have shortness of breath. They have difficulty breathing. And they have a lot of mucus that kind of fills the lung area. And if it's not cleared, they could suffocate. So basically what doctors have done is put people on inhalers, the corticosteroids, to shrink the swelling of the airway so they can breathe. And but what's interesting about this report from Medical News Today, they say it's different. Asthma today is different from the ancient form of asthma. And I thought to myself, well, what does that mean? Does it mean they've diagnosed it differently or something? Well, let me read you this quote from their report. They say, doctors and medical figures have been aware of asthma since ancient Greece. And what they know about not only the treatments, but the disease itself has changed dramatically alongside medical technology. Now, what medical technology do you think of that may change a disease, Pastor?
I can't think of any offhand.
Well, vaccines is part of it.
Yeah, vaccines, yeah.
Right. So basically, what they've been doing in a nutshell is kind of through vaccination, tinkering with the way your immune system reacts. So science has been researching our immune system, and they're trying to find ways to influence the immune system. So with 1 in 10 kids suffering from asthma, usually the children develop asthma after they get a vaccination. So 1 in 10 kids that get vaccinated develop asthma.
Wow.
So what one researcher found out, this was based on the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia research, they said the vaccines that contain 1 milligram to 5 milligram of yeast protein seem to be the culprit. So your HEB vaccines, your influenza B type, the hepatitis B vaccine, the Pediarix vaccine, which is a combination of your HEP, your DPT, your diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and polio vaccine, your combination shots, Twinrix, which is an adult vaccine for hepatitis A and B, and also your HPV, your papillomavirus, all have this yeast protein. And what this research at the Children's Hospital stated was, quote, the antigen used in the yeast recombatant vaccine, such as hepatitis B, is derived from a culture of common baker's yeast, and quantities of the yeast protein exist within the vaccine serum. The vaccine prepared in yeast can induce allergic reactions to the yeast protein. Such vaccines produce an anti-yeast IgG antibody immune cell. And what this does is this stimulates the T1 and the T2 immune system cells, and it overstimulates them, and it increases the risk of allergies and asthma in people. What do you think?
Well, hang tight, Lewindy. All right. GB Lightning pledges 100. Thank you, GB. Paul from Cambridge pledges 60. 888, folks, listen. Those guys are sitting in there. They're just sitting there staring at those phones, and if they don't light up, it breaks their little hearts, and it breaks mine worse. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. We only have 2 more days after tonight to get. Actually, so that's about 5 hours we have to raise enough money to stay on for another whole month. And we needed around, I think it was about $68,800, I believe it was, we have to raise and from between now and this time next month. And so to stay on all the stations, all of those you listening to us on those stations you're listening to us on right now, we have to raise that much more to stay on those stations. So 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. The phone lines need to ring. They need to ring. Don't break my heart. 888-281-1110. All right.
I can't call in, but since I'm already online, I'll go ahead and say Pastor Joe will donate 100, even though I'm working in the ministry, I've also many times told people, all of us in the ministry work for free. We donate our own time, our own talent, and often like this, our own treasure. Pastor Hell and everybody that's associated, almost all of us, put things into the ministry. In my case, I'm remote. I have to have set up a special computer system, phone system, printers, you know, things. Nobody pays for any of that. We all handle that ourselves. So your donations go right to pay the bills of the ministry. And the big one that is the 900-pound gorilla in the room is the airtime. Pay for the airtime. And we rely on you, the listener, to help us with that. Nobody in this ministry is taking a dime, never have, never will. And that's why it's a true partnership between you and us. And everybody, this is the family of God working together to be for so Pastor Ernie can be the watchman on the wall, and we can reach out across this land and preach the gospel.
Amen. Okay, I tell you what, now, Pastor Joe, because I know you, I know that you're so tight that your shoes don't fit, but I know this, that if you can pledge 100, Doers of the Word Church will pledge 1,000. And we did it for you, Joe. We did it for you.
For me.
Yep.
Well, I'm a homesteader. I'll be real honest. I'm one of those prepper homesteaders, and I've got a freezer full of venison and garden vegetables, and we live a little different out here.
Yeah, I know you do. I'm only pulling your leg. Yeah, you do. It's out. You live in the out there, out in the farmland. And anyhow, all right. So we got Bob from New Jersey pledges 50. And Doers of the Word, okay, pledges 1,000.
Wow.
And so somewhere along the line, I'll need to know how much we need, what we have to make our goal tonight. And so.
I've got, if I can, something for you before we get too far off subject.
Yeah, we have another guest hanging in there, so go ahead.
Real quick, I was just going to ask Wendy. I remember going to school. Very few kids ever went to the nurse's office, very few for very few things. But I notice now with the my now grandchildren, the nurse's office is like a pharmacy. I mean, hundreds of kids with breathers, inhalers, medications. This is a change I've seen just in my lifetime from just a few, four or five kids that went to the nurse's office to a huge part of the school. And the one thing that I saw change in history was went from two or three vaccinations to dozens of them, and that's the result.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's research that correlates, you know, statistically, all these childhood illnesses with vaccinations. Actually, I've gotten research and quotes from doctors that said that, you know, prior to combining serums in one shot, there was no autism.
Ah, before they combined stuff.
Right.
That Robert Kennedy Jr. has been all over that. Mm. Yeah, he was, they made some really good CDs on it. You've heard of that fellow named Mahatma Gandhi?
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's what he wrote in 1912 in his book that he published, A Guide to Health. Vaccination is a barbarous practice, and it is one of the most fatal of all the delusions current in our time. The vaccine is a filthy substance, and it is foolish to expect that one kind of filth can be removed by another. Conscientious objectors to vaccination should stand alone, if need be, against the whole world in defense of their conviction. So that's exactly right. Barina, if you're still listening out there, and Jim, and it's what we said. We have to stand against this, even if we stand against the entire world. Right, folks?
Well, and just remember, this isn't even a vaccine. It is messing with the mRNA. It is not a true vaccine, folks. And just remember that one of the big Fifth Circuit Court came out and said, no, it's not constitutional to force people to take it. And they're holding off both deadlines, and even the CDC now is saying, nope, the deadlines are gone until this is worked out in court. And from what I'm seeing on all the different reports, the courts are going to find it's unconstitutional for the federal government to mandate. And I'm positive that will hold, and we have to stand firm.
You know, out in Wisconsin, where they've had that big investigation into voter fraud, and they found all of those. Well, guess what they just did out there in Madison, Wisconsin? Election officials are requiring all poll workers to be vaccinated.
Oh, boy.
Well, so now, who is it that gets vaccines? Are they mostly Republicans or Democrats?
Democrats.
Yep. So there's going to be a lot less of them pretty soon.
Poll watchers and people involved because, yeah, they'll do everything. But just think, right now Vermont has the highest vax rate in the country. And yet right now their cases of COVID are surging. And they said, well, it's our own success. Their own success. Wait a minute. They've got the 12th highest rate of new COVID cases in the world. And what it is, they're saying, well, we had so many people that were vaccinated early that they don't have anybody with the natural immunity. So what's their answer? Oh, have everybody go get vaccinated.
Well, you know, the whole thing
doesn't
was...
Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron?
Well, Joe, see, well, more and more people are finding out that the one profession, more than any other profession, that is refusing the vax are medical workers, doctors, nurses, and medical workers that have to work with that stuff. That tells me that's all I need to know. I don't need to know any more than that, that I don't want to take the vax. I got to tell folks, though, they need to be prepared. And a good immune system, as Wendy Wilson always tells us, is the best prevention. And you can call Apothecary Herbs at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Wendy, I heard they were on the news the other night. They were the crazies on the left-wing news were, they were, their hair were on fire. They were saying there are people that are trying to get unvaxxed. This is a moving, you know, it was like, could this possibly be a movement, a growing movement? People are trying to get unvaxxed, and they're going out to these people out there. What do you think about that?
They were saying they were really upset people were trying to reverse a vaccine, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, I think people, you know, this is a learning curve for a lot of people, this whole experience, and the more they learn about the vaccine, the less they want it. And some people are getting angry about it, you know. So I think, yeah, I know. So
wonderful.
I think, you know, God has given us herbs here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, as he says in his word, and he can't lie. And there's some really powerful herbs that, you know, pull out toxicity and poisons. I mean, the Native American Indians, Pastor, used herbs to reverse a snake bite. So if they can reverse a snake bite, why can't we reverse a toxic vaccine?
I hear you. Well, we're running up against the clock. We got to run to a break. Tony out there from Lamplight, as you hang on, we're going to bring you up. And Wendy, I know that you said you could only stay with us for the first hour. Thank you so much, Wendy Wilson, Apothecary Herbs, the very best natural medicine you can get. And I'll give you that phone number right afterwards. Stay with us if you want. Be right back. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.